Radio Buddhist Youth Association. Good day, everyone. You're listening to the sound of universal compassion. Today is the 22nd of December. We will continue listening to Master Tenzin Chosen's previous program, Meditation, Dying, and Karma. And please enjoy.
This show is brought to you by the Buddhist Youth Association every Sunday, bringing Buddhism to the community of the Waikato. We also give away a range of free English or Chinese Buddhism books, MP3, or tapes on Buddhism. If you'd like one, please send a letter with $3 worth of stamps in an envelope to P.O. Box 82146, Highland Park, Howick, Auckland. Or you can phone 09271-3377. Buddhist Youth Association, respectful, beneficial, empowering. Those of you who've been with us for the last month or so might think it's time to leave the topic of suffering now and move on to something more cheerful. But I'm afraid we've still got a little way to go before we broach the next topic. So far, we've only listed most of the general sufferings of cyclic existence, and we still have all the specific sufferings of the six realms after that. In the general sufferings, first we examined it as eight discomforts, then last week and the week before, we looked at it as six miseries, and today we're going to talk about suffering when you don't have much time to think about it, but want a quick reverence to fit all your daily experiences into. This brief form comes in 3 points, but before we go into those, let's make sure of our motivation for participating here today. As I've said many times before, but it's worth repeating, that motivation determines the wholesomeness or not of an action. A man who feeds and nurtures an animal so that later he can kill and eat it is not acting in a virtuous way, even when he's gently nursing it through a dire illness. The intention is always to eventually slaughter the animal, so every action is motivated by aggression or attachment. However, a man who yells at his son for being constantly naughty and putting himself in danger is motivated by compassion, not wanting to see his son suffer. So his action, even though outwardly very, very aggressive, is virtuous. If we participate in a program like this with only a motivation to get some peace of mind in this life, if we are lucky, we will get what we want. However, it's not sure, and once this life is over, we will derive no more benefit from our activity. However, if we both motivate and dedicate that the positive energy from this program will become a cause for our enlightenment, especially to help and lead others to the state of enlightenment, the energy will not degenerate until we become enlightened. So let's take a moment, as usual, to set such a motivation. Thank you. So far, as I've said, we've looked at the eight and six kinds of suffering that define cyclic existence. Just to run through those again, the eight are birth, aging, sickness and death, meeting with the unpleasant, not meeting with the pleasant, not getting what one desires, and being stuck with the five aggregates. Then the six, just in case you had forgotten or weren't with us when we went through them, were uncertainty, dissatisfaction, discarding bodies again and again, taking bodies again and again, uncertain status, and loneliness. All these sufferings can be classified into three major points that basically cover all the suffering of cyclic existence. The first of these points we call the suffering of suffering. It's everything that we normally describe as suffering. This includes sickness like swine flu, accidents such as breaking your leg or being involved in a car smash, relationship breakups, close ones dying, losing something, even something small like a key, and any other occurrence that you may think of as uncomfortable, dissatisfying, or irritating. Then the second point is called the suffering of change. Let's take, for instance, your favorite movie. If I invited you to watch it again, perhaps the very thought will bring you a sense of pleasure. Then we settle down with a punnet of popcorn, the video plays, and for a while we really enjoy ourselves. But now say that we had to stay watching the same movie for 2, then 3, then 4 hours. By the time it's stretching into the 5th hour, I think I would be very ready to give it a rest and find something else to do, wouldn't you? And that's the problem. If the pleasure of the movie was real happiness, no matter how long it ran, we would never get bored or sick of it. We would be able to sit there watching the same movie for 7 days or 30 days or even a year without ever wanting to get up and do something else. In fact, if it gave us real pleasure, the more we watched it, the happier we would become. But it doesn't work like that, does it? From the moment we sit down to watch the movie, our happiness starts diminishing. We steadily get more and more unable to watch it, so that by the time about 2 hours have gone, we're ready to get up and make a cup of tea or play a computer game. Our pleasure, and this doesn't only apply to the movies, always follows the law of diminishing returns. The longer we indulge in a pleasurable activity, the less pleasure we get from it, until eventually we get to a point where we can't stomach it anymore. Think of anything that gives you pleasure and see if this isn't true. Perhaps you like eating. So you go out to a very good restaurant and order the most scrumptious sounding dishes on the menu. At first, because you're hungry, you really enjoy the food. However, by the time dessert has come and you are on the platter of cheese and biscuits with coffee to follow, you're probably sitting there with a stomach that feels like an overblown balloon. If the waiter were to bring you another one of those delicious dishes you've just tucked into, you would probably quite possibly look at it with some dismay, knowing that if you tried to shovel it into your already overstuffed body, you would probably be sick. The law of diminishing returns has ruled, and whatever originally appears infinitely delightful now makes you nauseous. Try to think of one pleasure that you can indulge in continuously and which brings you more and more pleasure. You can't think of one, can you? That's because there aren't any in cyclic existence. In fact, any pleasure that we experience in cyclic existence is actually just a release from a previous suffering. That's why it appears as happiness. Let's say you go for a holiday at the sea. When you get down to the beach, the sun is shining, the sand is hot, and you are eager to get into the water. So you dive in and for a while happily play in the waves. Then after a while, you start feeling a little uncomfortable. Perhaps the wind makes being in the water a bit chilly, so you get out and go lie in the sand, letting the sun dry you out, and that's very pleasant. Then after a while, as the sun rises in the sky even further, it becomes increasingly hot, you can't lie sunbathing anymore, and it's time for another swim. You see, the first swim was pleasant because it was relief from the heat of the sun and the sand. If the cool water was true happiness, you could stay there forever. But because it's only relief from the previous discomfort, it too becomes uncomfortable after a while. Now sunbathing is pleasant because it's a relief from the uncomfortable chill of the water. But after a while, that sunbathing shows its true colors and it too becomes uncomfortable. Once more, the relief comes from a dip in the sea. And so it goes on and on. We can never stay in one happy state too long before it becomes uncomfortable and we have to find another state to be in. Because they are just a relief from a previous discomfort, all our pleasures without exception follow the law of diminishing returns and get worse and worse as time goes on. Just as our suffering does. If we pile suffering onto suffering, a time never comes when things start getting better. In the same way, the more we pile on the pleasure, the worse it gets. So suffering and pleasure are the same. The more of both we have, the unhappier we become. That degenerating quality of our happiness is the suffering of change. The third suffering is all-pervasive or conditioned suffering, and this is the reason why the other two sufferings exist. All-pervasive suffering refers to the impossibility of finding any long-term happiness in cyclic existence, for the reason that the source and engine of cyclic existence are in themselves the nature of suffering. All our experiences are driven by previous karma and afflictive emotions, and those, of course, are our biggest enemies. Afflictive emotion is not called that for nothing. Whenever such an emotion arises, it causes us suffering, both in the present and the future, when its karmic result ripens. For instance, say we fall in love with a beautiful person. Suddenly the mind that was relatively peaceful and calm and that got through most of the day's activities reasonably well becomes obsessed. It doesn't want to concentrate on anything else than the new girl or boyfriend, and consequently lots of the day's activities are shoddily done or passed over. Nothing satisfies unless it is directly connected to the new object of attachment, and when we see the person of our affections, the mind goes into a kind of overdrive of excitement. Jesse Tyler sums it up nicely with a quote, "I'm so in love, every time I look at you, my soul gets dizzy." And that oft-quoted poet Anon also describes it well with, "I ran up the door, opened the stairs, said my pajamas and put on my prayers, turned off my bed, tumbled into my light, and all because he kissed me goodnight." Of course, contrary to all the fairy tales and romantic movies, such experiences just bring us ongoing disturbance and usually end up in as much grief as the excitement we initially felt. This example might sound a little bit extreme, but all our experiences in cyclic existence are colored by our karma and afflictive emotions. So wherever we go, we will experience no long-term satisfaction. We always carry the dissatisfaction with us, in the same way as we cart this rough, heavy body with us wherever we go on Earth. In fact, it's because we carry this rough body and its associated mental states, feeling, discrimination, karmic formations, and consciousness, that we will never find any real peace in cyclic existence. Cyclic existence is these five aggregates which come about through karma and afflictive emotions. And so while we are under the sway of karma and afflictive emotions, which are the result of our not recognizing reality properly, we will never find the long-term peace we so long for. Only when we put a stop to karma and afflictive emotion will we stop this conditioned existence, because karma and afflictive emotion are what condition it, and find that true happiness. This last point is the most difficult to understand. The first two, suffering of suffering and suffering of change, are easier because we experience them all the time. But our existence is so closely immersed in all-pervasive suffering that it's difficult for us to step back and recognize it, and not to think that somehow, somewhere, we can find a long-term happiness in this life. All-pervasive suffering is like the very air we breathe. Although it is the most difficult to understand, it is really the one we have to come to grips with if we really want to develop renunciation. Knowing that our pleasures are only temporary and lead on to suffering is not enough, because we will always be beguiled by another pleasure that seems to promise a long-lasting happiness. Like falling out of love with a person that once so fascinated us, we will go on to look for another person to lavish our affection on, thinking that if we can just find the right one, everything will turn out just fine. We have to realize that nowhere, absolutely nowhere, does such a person exist. No matter who we fall in love with, pain and unhappiness will always be involved, even though we may gloss over them and pretend it's not so. Like the woman who wrote to an agony aunt in a women's magazine saying, "I have this wonderful man as my partner, but he keeps on ignoring me and putting me down. What should I do?" It's only when we come to terms with and realize the all-pervasive unsatisfactoriness of cyclic existence that we will really give up all our aspirations for it and want to really get out of it once and for all, and quickly, as if our head was on fire. Okay, so now let's meditate for a while on the three sufferings. Please sit comfortably and bring your mind onto your breath, letting the thoughts arise and float on without getting involved in them. Let your mind settle into its own place without being disturbed by anything going on around you. think about the suffering of suffering. Bring to mind all the kinds of dissatisfaction and misery you've experienced in your life, from serious sickness to minor irritations. Get a taste of how life is full of these sufferings, like they're a never-ending waterfall. They just keep coming on and on. Your pleasures, how all of them operate according to the law of diminishing returns. The more of them continuously we have, the less pleasure we experience from them. This is true of all our pleasures without exception. Try to think of a pleasure that brings you more happiness the more you'd indulge in it continuously.
Oh.
this type of existence we're in, see if you know of any place where there is no dissatisfaction and suffering. Remember how this life comes about through calm and afflictive emotion. And because these are rooted in suffering, it's impossible in this existence to escape suffering and dissatisfaction. Suffering pervades this type of existence. So to be free of it, we have to be free of existence dependent on karma and afflictive emotion. And that means we have to see reality as it is, and not through the veils of our conditioning and karma. If you can't think of the eight or the six sufferings, then it'll be good to remember these three: the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, and all pervasive suffering, and mindfully watch how all your daily experiences fit into them. After a while, you'll be able to see that nothing in cyclic existence is satisfactory, even though it appears we are surrounded by pleasures. But now time is up, and I wish you a very happy week ahead. As happy as it can be under the circumstances of cyclic existence, that is. And I hope you'll be with us again next week for more on suffering. Please dedicate any positive potential from this program to gaining enlightenment, to be of greatest benefit not only to yourself, but to all others as well. Thank you and goodbye.